Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. So today we're working from a really unique set of sources. We've got a massive collection of discussions and claims from the Telegram channels of major hacktivist groups.
Right. All throughout December 2025, this raw intelligence was collected and then cross-analyzed by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau.
That's a division of the Epidemiology Lab at Orange Cyber Defense, for you listening.
And our mission today is, well, it's laser-focused. In a world with all these geopolitical tensions, we're just cutting through the noise.
Just the cyber perspective.
Exactly. We're looking only at the digital side of these conflicts. It's an impartial synthesis of the campaigns, the targets, and, you know, the methods they used last month.
So we're just observing. We're analyzing the digital battlefield as the source material shows it to us.
That's the principle. Strict neutrality.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We really have to start with the context, because none of these groups are acting randomly.
No, not at all.
Their campaigns are explicitly tied to global politics. So what were the core geopolitical drivers in December?
The primary driver, I mean, unequivocally, it remains the Russia-Ukraine axis.
Still the main one.
Yes. We saw hacktivist activity that was directly linked to retribution. Retribution against nations that are increasing aid or, you know, continuing to enforce strict sanctions.
So it's a direct digital response to a physical foreign policy decision.
It's exactly that. A direct digital response.
Can you give us some concrete examples of that linkage? Who was hit and why?
Sure. The group NoName05716.
Or NMM05760.
Right. They were heavily involved in targeting European nations, and their attacks were not random at all. They hit France, for instance, and it was specifically in retaliation for reports about transferring Rafale fighter jets to Ukraine.
Okay, very specific.
Very. And they targeted Belgium because of discussions around blocking Russian assets. Even Denmark was hit right after they announced changes to their aid package for Ukraine.
So this isn't just digital vandalism. It's operationally enforced political commentary.
That's a perfect way to put it. But that wasn't the only conflict driving things.
Right. The conflict wasn't just restricted to that axis. We saw a secondary layer emerge in the Middle East.
That's right. The volatility there is adding this whole other dimension. We saw the group Dinet making very explicit political statements about Saudi Arabia.
About criticizing them?
Yes, criticizing its normalization efforts and linking their own cyber activity directly to the conflict in Gaza. Their motivation is clearly, you know, pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel.
So these groups are actively choosing sides in multiple global conflicts.
They are, and it gives you this fascinating lens into the anxieties of the region. We also watched the group vulture monitoring and then commenting on what they called a quiet but deep fear.
A fear of what?
A fading confidence inside Israeli cyberspace about the threat of a massive regional conflict, specifically with Iran. So the chatter we analyzed, it's a direct mirror of real world anxieties.
Okay, so shifting from the why to the who, let's look at the key actors.
Yeah.
Who really dominated the digital landscape last month in terms of sheer volume?
By volume, it was absolutely NMM0516. They were incredibly active.
I'm not surprised, given what you just said.
I mean, in one analysis week, they accounted for over 37% of all reported incidents we tracked.
Wow.
And they maintained about a 33% share the week after. Their focus is twofold. Global DDoS distributed denial of service, and more industrial access.
Which we'll get to. But what about the group everyone knows, Killnet? They're famous for their visibility.
Killnet is still highly visible, highly organized. They used December to announce some organizational updates. They're developing a next-gen tool they're calling Matrix, specifically version 5.5.
It's so interesting. They announced their tools and alliances publicly like this. On Telegram, it's almost a public-facing war room.
It is. It creates this facade that helps with recruitment and, of course, alliances.
And those alliances are key.
Absolutely. NNM05716 announced an alliance with another pro-Russian group, Dark Warriors. Killnet is openly collaborating with UserSec and was actively trying to engage with CyberSerp.
And we saw others, too.
Yes. We also tracked TwoNet explicitly signaling their pro-Russian leanings with some very strong hashtags.
Hashtag glory to Russia.
And hashtag fuck you. It shows this growing operational cohesion between groups that are ideologically aligned.
So we have these geopolitical groups driving the volume, but you mentioned the digital ecosystem is kind of split. Not everyone's motivated by politics.
Not at all.
So how do the purely commercial actors fit in? Are they feeding the political ones?
That's a critical question. And yes, we're seeing a thriving marketplace that just runs in parallel. You have groups like Pharaoh's Team, also known as Shadow X.
They're purely commercial.
100%. Their currency is access. They sell web shells. And for you listening, that's basically a small piece of malicious code that gives a hacker remote control over a website.
And they even offer tutorials.
Yeah, promising to teach you how to learn hacking websites in 5 minutes.
So they're basically selling the keys to the kingdom for low-level attackers.
Precisely. And then you have groups like HK Gang or HKG. They are all about financial crime.
Carding.
Specifically carding and subscription fraud. They list specific credit card BINs, bank identification numbers, targeting services like ChatGPT Doe, UFC Fight Pass, Xbox Game Pass.
And they target certain countries?
Yes, countries where they think those fraudulent transactions are less likely to be flagged right away, like the US, South Korea, and Colombia. These commercial groups, they sustain the whole initial access market.
Which the political groups can then leverage.
Exactly.
Okay, let's pivot to the how. The methods. DDoS is still the main tool for political disruption. It's loud, it's visible.
It's effective for that purpose.
But the most alarming finding from December was this really clear pivot away from just disruption to real-world critical infrastructure access.
This is the profound shift. This is what we really need to focus on. Political hacktivist groups, especially NNM057 and Killnet, are moving beyond just knocking a website offline. They are targeting ICS and SCADA systems.
And for our listener, can you just briefly explain what that is? Why is compromising an ICS SCADA system so much more serious?
Of course. So ICS is industrial control systems, and SCADA is supervisory control and data acquisition.
Okay.
The best way to think of these is as the nervous system, the core operating system for our physical utilities.
So not just websites.
No, this is the physical world. The pumps for water pressure, the valves for gas flow, the systems in a power plant. If you control a website, you cause embarrassment. If you control ICS SCADA,
you can cause a safety hazard.
A major blackout, contaminant resources. That's why this pivot is, well, it's existential.
That completely reframes the threat level. Okay, so where were these claims of access made? Italy saw some deep claims, right?
Yes. NNMMM057-16 claimed really deep access in Italy. They specifically asserted they had full control of the thermal management system of a cogeneration plant.
A direct threat to energy production.
A direct threat. And the attacks on Finland were linked directly to geopolitical agreements.
That's right.
Finland's utility sector was taken down in direct response to their security agreements with Ukraine. The group even named specific energy providers like Helen.fi and Ulinenergia.fi.
And Belgium, same story.
Same story. Their utilities were targeted immediately after new decisions on aid packages were made. And Tunet was busy hitting Spanish targets as well.
Who did they hit?
They claimed hits on significant infrastructure, including the water utility Canal de Isabel II and the logistics company Casisa. It's a broad, concerted campaign.
And it's targeting the essential physical underpinnings of Western Europe.
That's the bull.
Let's do a deep dive into France. It was perhaps the most heavily targeted nation because of its military support for Ukraine. What were the specific claims NMM057 made there? Because they were incredibly detailed.
They were. And the specifics were highly alarming because they suggest the capacity for actual physical manipulation.
Okay.
NNMU057 claimed remote access to the administrative control panel of the French E2S XI system.
And that system is critical because
it controls gas supply, acceleration, and cooling sequences in industrial settings.
If they really had control over those sequences,
yeah,
that moves from just disruption to a potential disaster.
Precisely. And beyond gas, they claimed access to general French water supply systems. They alleged they could control pumps and water levels.
Wow.
And maybe most worrying, they claimed control of the wastewater treatment system in the Genelon region, which monitors things like biogas and chemical dosing.
So this is no longer just bragging. These are claims that could compromise public health and safety.
Right. They're not just flooding a website. They're claiming the ability to turn valves or change chemical doses in the physical world.
What other sectors in France were in the crosshairs?
They hit defense industries hard. Targets like JICAT, Lacroix, Chapuis Arms, all military equipment manufacturers. They also went after transport infrastructure.
Like the Eurotunnel.
The operator, Getlink, yes. The attack surface was broad, but the focus was consistently on infrastructure critical to either the war effort or civilian life.
So beyond the list of targets, let's talk tactics and methods. We saw this incredible diversity.
Mm-hmm.
From major military targets down to a small school website in India.
Well, the groups maintain a broad attack surface because every single vulnerability is a resource for them.
I see.
We saw educational sites like Vivek Vidyalaya in India and Askuli.com get targeted not for political reasons, but just for defacement or as cheap initial access points they can monetize later.
And how are they advancing their technical game? Is the tech getting better?
The pace of tool development is relentless. Dynet, for example, is actively refining its toolkit, specifically something called WebArm.
What does that do?
They've successfully added Tor service capability to it to mask their operations, and they're actively claiming bypasses against common security like Recaptcha and Cloudflare. The barriers to entry for attack are constantly shifting.
Right, on the financial side, we saw groups moving just huge amounts of bulk data.
Yeah, that commercial marketplace we talked about is highly sophisticated. Pharo's team is still selling web shells, using encryption, basically running ransomware campaigns.
And GoSec.
GoSec is capitalizing on that access by specializing in the bulk sale of personal information. Huge databases of U.S. and Canadian citizens. The financial side fuels the political side.
This brings us to maybe the most unique insight from all this source material, the human element. The OSINT provided this fascinating glimpse into the subculture by profiling one specific player.
This is where we get that unique aha moment. The
right.
data let us build a detailed profile of a GoSec member identified as Angelo Chiriloyu.
And what we can infer from the chatter is that this person was actively creating these complex online personas, like a non-ghost.
And it seems to be driven by a need to, you know, feel powerful and significant inside that community.
So global cyber warfare is often driven not by organized armies, but by maybe unstable individuals looking for an identity.
That is the striking inference. We also saw evidence of attempts to use known malware, specifically the Redline Stealer, which is common for harvesting credentials and crypto. But the profile also suggests a deep personal instability.
What specifically pointed to that?
Well, the OSINT included records of neighborhood complaints about loud techno music and claims he was drilling holes in his apartment walls.
Why?
He said he needed to expand the server room. Most critically, there was documentation suggesting he had stopped taking prescribed medical treatment, specifically sertraline.
That detail is chilling. It really grounds the analysis. These digital threats aren't just code and policy. They're often individuals acting out personal struggles on a global stage.
It's an important piece of the puzzle.
So let's synthesize. When we put all of December 2025 together, what's the headline? What's the main takeaway for you listening?
The headline is that the threat landscape has fundamentally mutated. We are past the era of just nuisance.
Right.
The focus of high-impact geopolitical hacktivism has shifted decisively toward confirmed claims of access and the potential for real impact on critical infrastructure across Western Europe. France, Belgium, Finland are the key examples.
So the threat is moving from nuisance and embarrassment to a confirmed safety hazard, an existential risk for essential services.
Absolutely. The digital ecosystem is now clearly split. You've got the high-impact political attacks trying to cripple essential services, and running right alongside is a sophisticated, financially driven market providing all the tools.
But the unifying factor is the target.
Exactly. The targets are consistently the vulnerable, soft underbelly of Western critical infrastructure.
And that leads us to our final provocative thought for you to mull over. We've seen groups like NNMM Ezer57 explicitly tie their attacks directly to foreign policy, France's military aid, Belgium's financial actions. So if the public becomes truly aware of how deeply vulnerable our critical infrastructure is, how might that fear, that knowledge, begin to influence future geopolitical decisions in the West?
It forces the cabinet room to consider the cyber consequences of every single diplomatic move.
A critical question for 2026. No longer a separate battlefield.
Not at all.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the digital front lines of December 2025. Stay informed and stay safe.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.